We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like making common sense like a superpower. All right, we did the whole first dipper on, we called it working on the workforce. So, yeah, we're past that now. Let's get on dipper number two. Let's see if we can get a three dipper day. What do you think? Triple dipper, is it going to happen? Butters, what are the odds? Are you laying odds on it?
I don't know. There's a lot to unpack about college campuses.
It's a lot. A lot to unpack. Yeah, thank you for the segue. So let me start off by saying this. So this next section, I'm calling it Campus Madness. I'm assuming, knowing this audience, that most of y'all have seen the news, but I'm going to recap it anyway. About last week, we had three of the Ivy League presidents from MIT, Penn, and Harvard that sat before a congressional committee, and really it got viral when Representative Elise Stefanik from New York, a Republican, asked them whether or not the campus policies that they espouse in their own campus handbooks would say that threatening someone with death would be considered harassment. And let the equivocation begin. I mean, it was awful. And I don't mean like a little bit. I mean like it was the most feckless piece of, I don't understand how to be a leader, I'm just an academic presentation I've ever seen. The kind of thing like, well, it depends on what your definition of is. That's kind of the way we were going down the road. They gave the most lawyerly, non-committal, trying to be political, soft-selling it, don't want to offend anybody, squeamish answers that anybody had ever seen, so much so that it blew back on them. What are we talking about? Anti-Semitism. So we're talking about the fact that on college campuses, and not all of them, but on a lot of college campuses right now, apparently it is open season on Jewish students. You've got, now granted, and I'm going to get into it in a minute, freedom of speech is still a thing. You don't have to agree that someone has it going on when you don't think they do, right? You don't have to love somebody. You can't be forced to have a good feeling about somebody. However, you're also not allowed under the laws regarding freedom of speech in this nation. You're not allowed to walk into a crowded theater and yell fire. That's the old adage, right? You cannot walk into a crowded theater and scream fire when there's really not one, because you create panic, you create uncertainty, you create distress, and you can actually create injury. I can't go out to the college campus and stand on the public square and say, I'm for bombing the Jewish Student Union. Who's with me? I mean, you can't do that. You cannot incite violence. You cannot create mayhem and chaos. And to some degree, depending upon the burden of proof and how you go about, proving it, you also cannot defame somebody. So yes, freedom of speech has limitations, rightful limitations. But why then are we seeing some of our most vaunted education institutions, the Ivy League, the place that if it's on your resume, it just means you've arrived. You have a degree from Harvard. You are so elite, you went to MIT. You got to Penn. And yet, on those campuses, pro-Palestinian students can march calling for the eradication of Jews in Israel because they support Palestine. They support Hamas. They can chant things like, from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free. What does that mean? That means what's between the river and the sea? Israel. In other words, they want to wipe out Israel. And so Elise Stefanik, I mean, the simple answer would have been, Congresswoman Stefanik, we will not stand for that, and we are looking into it, and we will take every step necessary to make sure that our Jewish students feel safe. That's all they had to do.
That does seem pretty simple, even if you don't mean it.
I mean, yeah. You and I don't have Ivy League degrees, but we kind of got that piece figured out, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's not hard.
Yeah.
And who are they trying to appease by having their squeamish answers? I mean, how did they get their jobs?
And who are their lawyers that are advising them?
I would think that any lawyer worth their salt, if they'd had the chance to whisper in their ear, would say, we're fixing it. Say we're fixing it. They didn't. Do you know, I don't know if you saw this or not. It's not one of my articles, so I didn't print this one out. I got all my resources here in front of me, but I think it was, which one was it? Harvard, I think, lost a $100 million endowment. First of all, I would love to have the ability to say, you know, I feel like giving $100 million to my alma mater. I don't.
Yeah.
I mean, the Right Side Studio would be looking even bigger than it is right now if we had that. But they lost it because of the way this was handled.
It is interesting when you hear, you know, I listen to like guys like Jordan Peterson.
Yeah.
That, I mean, he's basically written off academia. You know, I mean, he's just kind of like, I'm done. And I mean, he's part of it.
He is part of it.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I mean, that guy's got an elite mind. Watching, he is an academic, and he's written off academia. You're right. And it's for this very reason. It's because the factlessness. I have tenure. I have written papers. People have to come to my classes.
Well, and it's great to see. I mean, on the positive side, you've got the employers out there through a litany of the things that have been going on. They're going, hey, could you get us a list of all the people that have, you know, endorsed this anthem? We just like to keep that for our records,
yeah,
for future hiring practices.
So, young student union president who called for the eradication of Israel and support for Hamas, that job offer we gave you, it just went away. Because, yeah, the Jewish employees here don't feel like they would be safe having you on the staff. Yeah, that's happened multiple times, a couple of law firms. But yeah, so we're going to come back from this break, and I'm going to start off by telling you where I have been with regards to campus freedom of speech. It's big doings. You can't for the second believe that this show would ever say we're not for freedom of speech, but this show will not stand idly by and watch people call for the deaths of others. That's not the same thing. I'll tell you more details when we get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. Hour number 3 coming up.
You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international, and yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, we are in number 2, Campus Madness, and it's funny, so we just had a text a minute ago. Who was it? Darn it, I've forgotten who sent that in, and I already scrolled past it. We had a text a minute ago that said, Phil, I thought you were talking about, it was Glenn from Bluntsville. I thought the Dipper was called Canvas, not Campus, and you were going to do something about Hunter Biden's finger painting. And I said, nope, nothing about it. By the way, the lovely Charlene came in and put up the Christmas tree here in the studio today. If you're streaming online, you can see that we've got the Christmas decor up, and it just looks festive right now.
It's feeling very festive.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. There you go.
I think I need like some antlers or something, because I don't have anything in my background.
Bro, don't you say that, because I've got them for you. I've actually got some. Yes, we're going to have you all dudeed up. I went to a Christmas party the other night, and I had, you know, the flashing Christmas lights around my neck and the antlers on my head. And
I don't know that I'm that committed.
Come on.
but it does look great in
here.
It's
for right side. You can do it. Hey, listen, we're in – so number two, campus madness. Let me just say this. I mean, I'm looking right now, even a story that I didn't have because it just broke a few minutes ago. Harvard alum, Al Gore. Oh, saving the world, Al Gore, says that he is stunned by the tone deafness at the anti-Semitism hearing that I was talking about a moment ago. So if even Al Gore is stunned,
yikes.
Pray tell, what is going on?
That's crazy.
That is crazy. When the liberals begin to lose it, when the liberal elite begins to distance itself, they're like, okay, we've lost this race. And they have. So what, you got something?
No, that's crazy.
So lesson learned for Phil Williams years ago, all right? Reaching back in my personal storyline, 1985, 86, I think it was 86. So I was a vice president of student government at the University of South Alabama. And the lovely Charlene and I were dating. And there was this guy who came to our campus, and apparently this is what he did. He was this kind of crazy, wild-eyed, and I don't mean like, and he was not biblically accurate, by the way, but this crazy, wild-eyed, traveling evangelist. He was so weird. I mean, he you know, just everything about him just screamed of as being kind of a weird load. And but his shtick was to stand out there in the campus, like campus center, student center, amphitheater, and just begin to scream at students, "You're going to hell!" And he'd shake his Bible in the air, and he'd tell them, you know, things that he believed the Bible said, and it was pretty awful. He became a cartoon figure for a lot of people, and B, he also put some people off who, you know, just use that as a reason to go ahead and continue to not like, you know, the idea of faith. And then C, he actually scared some people, and he was screaming at people. He was insulting. And then came the kicker, when the lovely Charlene, hottie that she was on the campus, was walking by with some friends going to class, and he saw her, and he screamed, "Hussy! You hussy!" Well, she loved the Lord. She was working with Young Life and doing things with kids, and, you know, and all right, I'd had it at that point. I wanted him off the campus. And so I'll never forget this. I was determined to get him off the campus. And the guy who was president of SGA, a former Army Ranger, a good friend of mine, he's the one that taught me into running with him. We kind of ran as a ticket. And I called Mike Kennedy, and I said, "Mike, we've got to get him off the campus, man. This is ridiculous. He's doing all these things, saying all this stuff. He's insulting my own faith." And he said, "Phil, it's a free speech area. And if we kick him off the campus, who gets kicked off next?" And it really spoke to me. I was in a different place in my head until Mike said that. So what did I do? The next day I got my Bible and I went out there, and when Brother Jim started speaking, I walked out in front of him. I said, "Let me tell you what it really says." And I spent the whole better part of that afternoon having what I would call a Bible battle with Brother Jim, and he left the next day. But I didn't run him off. I just went out there and spoke. And so the thing was, I really learned, though, that yes, there is a right to speak whether I agree with it or not. And so I want to affirm that before I go any further on what I'm about to get into with this campus madness. Is there some absolutely asinine things being said by skulls full of mush on student campuses right now? And I know for a fact that 10 years from now, they're going to be like me, looking back and going, "Oh, that was a immature moment in my life." But the fact that they're saying it now still means something. And the fact that other students, though, are hearing that their lives are being threatened, it's a different level. Brother Jim was espousing something and kind of, you know, making a spectacle of himself, but he was not threatening death to anybody. He was not calling for the eradication of a certain demographic of people. So in that vein, back in 2017, 18, you know, when the left was having been apoplectic because Trump was president and Trump derangement syndrome was everywhere and snowflakes were asking for cry rooms and people didn't know how to act. And if Ann Coulter or Ben Shapiro or Charlie Kirk dared to go onto a college campus, they would have, you know, green-haired liberals with nose rings coming out there protesting, screaming, and trying to get them thrown off the campus for daring to have an opinion. And the reality is this, that can't happen. And so in Alabama, we actually, in 2019, House Bill 498 was carried by someone who I consider to be a friend, Representative Matt Friday, who is now Justice Matt Friday on the Court of Civil Appeals for Alabama. But he ran a bill, HB 498, called the Campus Freedom of Speech Bill. And it passed. And it allows for certain things, like, for instance, student-on-student harassment is defined clearly. So you can make sure that the world knows that is considered harassment by law. But it also prohibited public institutions from mandating that free speech zones had to be used, because some of them are trying to say, you're allowed to have your opinion over there. That's not freedom of speech. It also did things like it barred the institutions themselves from rescinding invitations to guest speakers merely because they were considered to be controversial. If the student union is bringing in, you know, a controversial speaker, you don't have to go. You don't. But the college can't tell you you're not allowed to have them. It also encouraged institutions to try and remain neutral, forbidding them from compelling students also from having particular views. It required First Amendment training as part of new student orientations, because they're already going to be telling them everything else, like how do you get your tickets to the games? You know, where do you find your meal ticket? What do you do on this situation? What can sororities and fraternities do? And, oh, by the way, freedom of speech means something on our campus. And then lastly, it actually allows the Attorney General of the state of Alabama to bring a cause of action against a campus that violates freedom of speech. So all that to say, I actually handed my friend Matt Friday an award from the Alabama Policy Institute for his passage of that legislation. I'm for freedom of speech, but freedom of speech does not include what we're seeing on college campuses right now. And that hearing last week really brought it out. When you've got feckless leadership on a campus that cannot even point to someone being, you know, being threatened with death and say, well, we've got to get involved here. Get involved. College president, all a college president has to do is step up and go, hey, listen, you may not like it, but that student right there, he's a Jewish student. And you know what? He means as much to us as you do. So get over yourselves. We're not going to allow you can say I support Palestine if you want to, but you're not going to call for the death of the student. That's all they had to do. And it's not hard. In fact, it's extremely easy. So why doesn't it happen more? Well, Ben Shapiro, who is Jewish himself, has been writing about this extensively. He had a piece that came out on Friday called What to Do About Anti-Semitic Universities. And he points out, he said, I've been banned from campuses multiple times. He says, violence broke out on my speeches in Cal State University and Penn State and UCal Berkeley. He said, I would be told that I was responsible for so-called microaggressions by saying certain things like, Western culture is superior, or men cannot be women. And I'd be responsible for harmful language because I stated that human beings ought to be judged not based on their race, but on their merit. But then he points out, but then you see things like what we're seeing right now with actual violence, with Jewish students being told to lock themselves in the library because mobs are coming banging on the doors looking for them. And he points out, you can't allow calls for genocide. You can't have celebration of terror attacks against others. And he points out also that if this was a call for a black, you know, anti-black racism, if you were calling for the celebration of terror attacks against black Americans, if you were calling for physical threats against, you know, black students, does anyone think for a second those presidents of the universities would have just sat silently? No. BLM would have been all up in their business. They would have been doxxed, and they would have been quickly out there trying to say what was what. So he points out here, he says, one can make the case for free speech on campus. He says, I can and I do. But one cannot pretend that universities protect students against harassment and then soft-pedal their Holocaust-level rhetoric. It is difficult to imagine these icons of sensitivity and diversity and equity and inclusion could be so sanguine about slurs against any other racial or ethnic American demographic. He says, here's the two reasons why they do, and I'll go to the break after this. He says, here's the two reasons they do. Because number one, the left believes that Jews are not part of their intersexual coalition of the oppressed. He says, by the leftist logic, Jews are part of the superstructure of power, since all success is merely a reflection of hierarchies, and Jews are disproportionately successful. Thus, therefore, Jews cannot be victims. Therefore, the left hates Jews. And then he also says this, the second reason, because the hard left hates Israel. Because the left hates Israel because, like American Jews, Israel is too successful in their region. Israel, according to the left, is therefore a colonialist outpost of the West, and the West is evil because it's too successful, which means it must be exploitative and oppressive. So therefore, the left hates Israel. Well, let's go ahead and go to a break right now, but when we come back, I'll tell you about some of the fallout. I mean, listen, it's been legit, and it needs to happen. But some of the fallout has been of epic proportions, and I'm glad. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, wow, saving the world one sound bite at a time. Hey, listen, if you have not already heard, one of our sponsors is Southern Immediate Care. So Southern Immediate Care is a chain of clinics all throughout our listening area, right? I mean, they got a huge swath just like we do. They're in places like Gadsden, Anniston, Atala. They got five locations around the Birmingham area. I think the two newest ones were Chelsea and Hoover. Southern Immediate Care, they do an amazing job. They're open 7 days a week, y'all, 7 days a week. Somebody wakes up on a Saturday morning with a fever. What do you do, wait till Monday? No. Southern Immediate Care, you can get seen all times throughout the week. And by the way, they'll see all ages. Pediatric to geriatric, I always say. And listen, I say this with all honesty. This is who I use personally. And no, I don't use them because they advertise. They advertise because I was using them and I was so satisfied, I asked them would they consider advertising. And so they do. But it kind of works out because the guy that owns the whole chain is a Right Side ruffian. But end result is this. Every time I have walked in the door of a Southern Immediate Care facility, it's always been clean, professional, friendly. They get you in, they get you out. You can get your shots, your x-rays, all right there at the same place. Yeah. You need something health-wise? Southern Immediate Care. Find the location nearest to you online and head on down. And when you're filling out your forms and getting ready to be a new patient, tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio. I would appreciate that. All right, we're doing this section right now. I'm calling it Campus Madness. And y'all, listen, this is pretty amazing. I mean, think about the ramifications of what's happening. So I get it, you don't do things because of the money, but when you wind up crushing your own, you know, capabilities because you were feckless in your leadership, how about this? University of Pennsylvania, Penn, one of the Ivy League organizations that had its president come and testify before Congress, and by the way, she didn't do a great job. Her name was Liz McGill. She got up there and just basically equivocated and, well, Congresswoman, and it would depend upon the circumstances. But they're calling for the death of your Jewish students. Why would that not be a violation of your bylaws, your harassment guidelines? Well, guess what happens? Just like people have their right to say what they want to say, apparently, even though it calls for the death of a student, well, donors have a right to go ahead and say, well, you don't get our money anymore. So University of Pennsylvania just lost, get this, a $100 million donation last week because of the way this went. When their president got up there and gave her feckless statements before Congress, right after that, Ross Stevens, the founder and CEO of Stone Ridge Asset Management, a billionaire, said he was withdrawing his gift, which is valued at roughly $100 million. He was actually funding something that was going to be called the Stevens Center for Innovation and Finance on UPenn's campus. Not no mo. Not no mo. Apparently, they lost that opportunity. Just so you know, by the way, the only one that is actually... Now, by the way, Liz McGill, President Liz McGill at Penn, she did come out a few days later, crawfishing big time, trying to make it better, trying to do a little video that said why I'm sorry. I didn't, what I was trying to say was, and I didn't mean, and here it is now, and I don't think anybody understood, and I didn't know the question was. Anyway, she's out. So UPenn President Liz McGill is now out. Daily Wire ran a story over the weekend. She resigned on Saturday after facing mounting pressure to step down over disturbing remarks that she made. It says that she has voluntarily tendered her resignation as president of the university, said Scott Bach, who's the chairman of the Board of Trustees. Scott Bach, by the way, then also followed suit and resigned as chairman of the Board of Trustees. So they just got decapitated.
Wow.
Although I did hear that she's actually not losing her tenure. She's still going to be a professor at UPenn.
Is she going to be like one of these football coaches that did such a bad job that she's going to get paid a boatload of money?
Who knows, man? I mean, you look at it, you would like to think not, but who knows?
Yeah.
The fact is that the other two are hanging in there. Harvard is facing all kinds of backlash. I told you about Al Gore a minute ago. When Al Gore ain't for you anymore, you know you hit a new milestone. But Harvard, story here on Fox News, came out yesterday. Harvard, there are these billboard trucks, these digital billboard trucks. You've seen these? And they are roving the campuses, demanding that the president, Claudine Gay is her name, be fired. They're just running around the campus, billboards, fire Claudine Gay. And it's one of the trucks circling the campus is sitting at the main gate blaring out her name and also blaring out the exchange that she had when she was before Congress, which, by the way, does not make her look that good. The sign also says one down, two to go. We'll see. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. All you Right Side ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, wow, y'all, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here, Alabama. I mean, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. Hey, listen, I got to tell you, somebody else who covers a lot of ground is our friends at ZLA Solutions. So it's really kind of a good fit to the conversation we had today with John Barganier from Manufacturer Alabama, because ZLA Solutions is out there finding people to put to work in places like, you know, manufacturing sectors and others around the state. They do all industries, but they do a lot of manufacturing folks. So listen, if you're out there looking for people, if you need them, ZLA Solutions does a lot of things to help businesses streamline their operations and get better at what they do, but what they also do is find you people. They can find them blue-collar, white-collar, or no-collar. It don't matter. I always say it. And they can do the recruiting, the background checks, the drug testing. They can find you a few people, or they can find you a whole shift of folks. So ZLA Solutions, their website is ZLAUSA.com. That's ZLA Solutions at ZLAUSA.com. Tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio. I would appreciate it. In fact, tell them twice. All right. Listen, I gotta tell you, it's the text messages are lit up. I'm going to get to those in just a minute. Let me kind of close out this section that I've been on about campus madness. So Alan Dershowitz, who is a professor of law at Harvard University, he's a great legal mind. He does a lot of commentary. You might see him on making the rounds on the news cycles, especially on Fox. Alan Dershowitz, though, is also Jewish. He's also a Democrat. He makes it very clear. He's for the law. What I've appreciated about him is he may have some Democrat leanings or views. He may be a self-proclaimed Democrat voter, but he'll defend Trump when the left is wrong. I've seen him do it multiple times. Alan Dershowitz is also Jewish, and there's a piece on Red State, came out yesterday, with him blistering Harvard president over the Orwellian groupthink of DEI and asking when's the reckoning going to continue. And so this is all related to what we've been seeing. And the article says this: these university leaders failed a basic test of moral clarity when they couldn't bring themselves to uphold the same standards for Jewish students that they would for any other group on campus. And then Dershowitz chimes in, and he says, McGill and Gay and Kornbluth, that's the three presidents, are not leaders in education. They're politicians. Even when they talk the talk, they rarely walk the walk. The article then continues by saying, to be fair, talking the talk and not walking the walk is an unfortunate characteristic of all liberals. This seems to be in the DNA. Yeah, so this is, by the way, this is his alma mater. This is where he's a professor, Harvard. And he's had it. He has had it with this kind of behavior. But you wonder, where's it going to go? What you thinking, man?
It's just interesting. It strikes me that he's kind of making it sound like it's mutually exclusive, leadership and politician. Shouldn't our politicians be leaders?
Yes. I didn't quite grab it that way, but I see where you're going there. Yeah. But I think what he's doing is speaking euphemistically. A lot of folks think the political answer is the one that doesn't get you in trouble.
Well, oh, yeah.
Well, it depends. I could be there, but it just, you know, I'll have to look into it, and I just don't know. It just depends. That's the crappy.
I know he didn't mean it that way, but that's one of those, like, so that's where we're at. The political answer is not a leadership answer.
Yeah. In fact, I had somebody one time say to me, no, man, it's just politics. I said, no, it's called a lie. It's just a lie. Don't try and say it was politics. It's a lie. You don't get to use politics as an excuse for bad behavior.
Amen.
That was somebody you and I both know, by the way.
Mm.
Anyway, leave that alone. So last article I've got. I got to thinking, what are education people saying about themselves? Huh. Pray tell. What would that be? So I went to Inside Higher Ed magazine. Headline, The Fallout, What the Anti-Semitism Hearing Could Mean for Higher Education. Well, what it could mean is clean up your act. How about that? The article starts off by saying, though, the failure of three college presidents to clearly say on last Tuesday that calling for the genocide of Jewish people violated their campus policies quickly went viral, you think? On social media, galling alumni, free speech experts, and advocates in the Jewish community alike. Even the White House chimed in. It says one day after the contentious four-hour hearing before the House Education and Workforce Committee, the White House Deputy Press Secretary said, it's unbelievable this needs to be said, but calls for genocide are monstrous and antithetical to everything we represent as a country. I got to give the White House props. That was a good answer. I just gave the Biden. What time is it? It is now 4:39 p.m. on Monday, December 11th, and I gave props to the Biden White House.
I'm sure it was taken away minutes later by some other statement.
It says, by the end of Wednesday, Harvard University President Claudine Gay sought to clarify her comments, and University of President Liz McGill, who also testified, has faced criticism and has now resigned. The point is being made here, as the metaphorical smoke cleared, we wanted to know what the remarkable hearing, which has already spurred more calls for three presidents to resign, could mean for higher education. Colleges and universities have faced growing skepticism among the American public over the past several years. Just 36% of Americans have a great deal or quite a lot of confidence in higher ed, and according to a Gallup poll released this past summer. Meanwhile, higher education has increasingly come under political attack from conservatives who say that they are too uniformly liberal to be in touch with everyday Americans. You know what I noticed here in the article? It gave no conclusions. It just said, I think there's a problem. Their takeaway was, I think there's a problem. Paraphrase, but there it is.
Deep, in-depth analysis.
Well, you got a lot of problems when an article on Inside Higher Ed magazine can discuss the entire thing and not decide to come to a conclusion that perhaps they shouldn't have said that.
Well,
it's
interesting. I'm curious who they are referring to that has such high hope or thoughts on higher education these days? Because this, I mean, this is, it's been on a steady decline.
Yeah. So if 36% of Americans have a great deal, or you want to know who the 36% are?
Yeah. Yeah.
Who are these people? Oh, my gosh. All right. Let me read some text messages for the break. How about that? Let's see what we got here. Yeah. What are y'all saying? Kimball from Harvest says these Ivy League schools mean nothing anymore and probably haven't for a long time. I wouldn't send my kids to them if it were free. These academics know nothing and produce nothing. People will hopefully vote with their feet. I think a lot of them are, bro. I think they are. David from Huntsville says Harvard University president answered the question, it depends on the context. Yeah. The context of the question was, does it go against school policy to call for genocide of a nation or a people? And they said, it depends upon the context. Yeah. Thank you, David from Huntsville. Mike from Athens says, Lord, how awesome would it be to have Trump versus Biden in a debate? I just realized it's a possibility and my heart got happy. Okay, that's not my topic, but okay, Mike, thanks. Stephen from Madison says, Al Gore is still alive? he says, Phil's defense of Charlene, the biblical teaching was excellent. He had notes and citations and calmly stated his points and counterpoints to Jim's radical hollerings. And I believe, Stephen, you were there. Thank you, brother. Appreciate you. That's a long time back, but it's still a memory. Jeff from Indiana says, hey, Phil, nowadays you would both be kicked off of campus because everyone knows you can't preach Christian or Jewish religion. These are not acceptable. Only Muslims and other forms of religion are okay on college campuses. But then he gives me a smiley face because I know you don't believe all that, Jeff. Come on, man. Ken from Harvest says, Butters, don't wear the antlers. It's deer season. Butters is on the phone. I'll make sure he hears that from Ken. Brian from Huntsville says, why do so many claim, all caps, to be Christians that make anti-Semitic comments? Jesus was or is a Jew. He was indeed. Pam from Locust Fork, I've been working till 5 the past few months. I got to catch the last hour today. Really missed the show and the information. Pam, tune on in. And, oh, by the way, you can pick it up on podcast. What a perfect segue for me to tell you before the break that we are literally podcasting the show every single day. And you can always pick it up after the fact. Right. So, yeah, just go to rightsideradio.org. And if you missed one, go grab it and listen to it again on your drive home or on your drive in the next day. But anyway, nonetheless, Pam, we appreciate you. Thank you very much. And then Mark from Laredo, Tennessee, says maybe he should invest or donate the $100 million into trade schools instead of Ivy League universities because not every person's college material. I mean, we lack some skilled labor in this country. Mark, you are so right, man. And I'm going to tell you right now, the trades are sucking wind needing people.
I am big Micro fan and Micro Works and all the stuff he's been, the charge he's been leading on that front with the blue collar jobs and working hard. And I mean, and I think like we just talked about when we started, the wages just for doing manufacturing jobs.
Yeah.
That's good money and HVAC money. And all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. And so, I mean, in fact, we didn't even talk about dual enrollment. When we come back, I'm going to wrap up on that because that was my bill when I was in the legislature. By the way, Butters, you might want to know where'd it go. Hang on a second. It was Ken from Harvest. He said, Butters, don't wear the antlers. It's deer season.
Very good point. Maybe a Santa hat.
I'll bring the Nerf gun.
Can I get an orange Santa hat for safety?
All right. Take us to the break, brother. We'll come back and have about 10 minutes to wrap up the day. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back. Back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, wow, making common sense like a superpower. Hey, by the way, I got to tell you guys about a very cool organization that is one of our sponsors, but who I am proud to have on the list, and that's the Elm Foundation. Elm, E-L-M, the Elm Foundation. They're based out of Huntsville. We had them in studio, did a full hour-long interview with them a few months ago, but the Elm Foundation is doing some amazing stuff, basically getting people off the streets and back into a productive lifestyle. and doing it like with conservative principles, and not by throwing money at it like the government would do. They are actually doing things like providing what I would call the hand up, not the hand out. They're giving people the tools, the training, the capabilities, the encouragement, the accountability to re-engage life and walking them through the process and letting them know when they're not hitting their milestones. I mean, it's really, it's very cool to watch. And when you hear their story, the Elm Foundation, I mean, they were just started with a good idea by someone who wanted to be the benefactor of an organization that did these things. And they did. They just started. And by the way, they're doing amazing stuff. I mean, like changing lives in and around the Huntsville area. I wouldn't be a bit surprised to find out they expanded somewhere else in the near future. But if you want to support them, this is year-end time, right? This is the end of the year. Charitable giving is a big deal for 501c3s. And if you're thinking about where do I put my money, where do I want to give, you might want to consider the Elm Foundation. You can find them on their website, ELMHSV, because they're from Huntsville, elmhsv.org. Check them out, ElmHSV, the Elm Foundation. And I tell you what, I'd appreciate it if you tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio. Got a few text messages, one of which I'm going to jump on right now, because Jeff from Indiana just chimed in and says, Phil, I was only half kidding about religion on campus. I know, brother. Everybody knows you call in enough to where they feel like they know you as well as they know me, bro. We ain't nothing. He says, if you offend a Christian, you may get a God bless you from them. But if you offend a Muslim, especially, then if they are radical, you end up with a head chopped off. Okay. Well, he was doing pretty good there. Now, Jeff, we know where you stand, man. I got no issues. You found something on Jordan Peterson. What did you find a minute ago?
Well, I mean, if you don't follow his stuff, well, he's just way more academic and way smarter than me. So he wrote a little blog post, and I didn't read all of it, but it just starts out with the rot in the Western world that has accrued in the last few years revealed with particular clarity since the October 7th attack on Israel. And he went on to talk about this hearing. I watched the event unfold with the same sense of surreal belief that has surrounded me more and more frequently over the last decade. As the academic world and the broader culture it shapes have succumbed even more completely to the faux compassionate blandishments of the radical left.
I get smarter when I hear his stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, that's an epic way of saying it. It's just amazing to watch. What do you call it? The rot?
Yes, yeah. The rot, yeah. In the Western world.
Ugh. It's unbelievable, y'all. And we can't just sit idly by. And I'll tell you too, here's one of the things that people don't think about very often. There is an enabling culture on the left overall. So when you see these Ivy League presidents, understand that they feel empowered right now by a leadership within the left sector that coddles that kind of behavior. It's just like when BLM, you know, started burning down city blocks and you had mayors that would kneel down before them, literally kneel. I mean, like, no kidding, kneel down before them and pledge their fealty to BLM. I'll be better if you just won't burn my city. We'll name a street after you. And they would do it. And then they would go burn a city block anyway. And then Kamala Harris would give money to an organization that helps bail out protesters. Well, what does that do? That empowers the moment. People look at it and go, well, okay, apparently it's all right because the highest levels of society, the leadership of the left says, we support you, or we support your sentiments, or we will step back and say nothing because we are tacitly there for you. And that's why when you see things like the big UAW strike that just stifled the automotive industry for, what, a good 3 months, Biden went and encouraged it. He didn't say, get back to work. He didn't say, my EV program is crushing your industry. He didn't do any of that. He said, I stand with the unions and their right to strike against the man. Well, what does that tell you? Leadership can be good and bad.
So along those lines, let me ask you, yeah. Do you think they genuinely, when they go home and they're behind closed doors, do they genuinely think, I didn't do anything wrong? Do you think they're, or do you think they're just so petrified that they aren't true leaders? These three.
You talking about these three presidents?
Yeah.
I think some of them immediately began to realize, oh, crap, I wish I'd just said it. Why didn't I just say it? I should have said it. Why didn't I just say it? I guarantee you they had buyer's remorse. But you know what? I think those three, my impression is, it wasn't buyer's remorse because they have deeply held beliefs. It was buyer's remorse because they technically got called out.
Right.
They didn't expect heat. They thought, I'm the president of Harvard. Who shall question me? I'm a black woman. Who shall question me? Guess what? She's getting questioned hard right now. She may lose her job. But then here's the other piece I was going to say. So there's an organization called CAIR, C-A-I-R, which, oh gosh, it's the Council on American and Islamic Relations, I believe is what it's called, CAIR. CAIR should be a hate group, according to the SPLC. They should be. CAIR is notorious for its anti-Jewish sentiments. CAIR is notorious for, you know, babying the radical Islamists that we find, you know, all over the world. And CAIR fronts itself as we're there to help build relations. So the Biden administration chose CAIR after its legacy of anti-Jewish sentiment, chose CAIR to be a part of its council on helping to improve Jewish relations. Why would you do that? Well, because the Biden administration kneels down to whomever is most activist, and they therefore, you know, basically engender these things. They foster it. They allow it to fester, if you will, fostering and festering. Guess what? CAIR just came out and insulted the Biden administration big time, called him out for daring to send arms to Israel. That's the organization the Biden administration just picked to help improve so-called Jewish relations. But that's where we are. When you have the left feeling empowered by the upper levels of the left's power elite saying, go ye therefore, it's going to be all right. Just do those things. No one's going to say a word to you. And then all of a sudden, oh, crap, they did more than we meant. That's because they felt empowered by you, Mr. President and Ms. Vice President. It's because y'all led the way. All right, listen, it was a double dipper day, but it was a good one. I'm glad to be back with you. I feel like I missed a whole week. By the way, Butters did a great job today. He gets an A+ from John from Huntsville. However, today's winner is Phil with an A++. Thank you. I won. All right. Have a great night. We will see you back here tomorrow, too.
Ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right.